We hear this statement a lot these days, judge not and you will not be judged. I have some scenarios I want to share with you as I begin this sermon this morning. A young lady, 18 years old, decides that she wants to leave her mom and dad and go shack up, we used to call it that, shack up with her boyfriend. Her mom and dad, who are Christians, and she's a Christian as well, are very upset by this. They confront her and they tell her she shouldn't be doing that because it's forbidden in the Word of God. And she says, but mom and dad, it also says, judge not and you'll not be judged. Different scenario. A young man, 18 years old, is dating a precious young lady who is from an underprivileged family, a different economic status. She's a child of a blue-collar worker. Her parents are very well-to-do, and they're also Christians, and they say, we don't want you to date her anymore. Here's why. It just doesn't look right. A couple people from a local congregation decide that they want to go to Hawaii. And they do go to Hawaii. And some rather gossipy people in the local congregation say this. You know, what do they have business going to Hawaii? They probably don't give any money to the church. Judgment. Some judgments are not wrong. Some judgments are wrong and hurtful, and some judgments are necessary. So how do you know the difference? Because you want to know the difference. Let me say that again. Some judgments are hurtful, some judgments are not hurtful, and some judgments are necessary. And we're going to be looking at all three of those scenarios today. Let's look at the first major point in the sermon this morning. Some judgments are not hurtful. Some judgments are not hurtful. What do I mean by that? You got up this morning and you judge certain things. You judge what kind of clothes you're going to wear, what kind of toothpaste you're going to use, what kind of shoes you would put on, what route you would come to church in, what car you would drive. Some judgments are very much not hurtful. For instance, some of you are going to root for the Philadelphia Eagles today. That's your judgment. For those of you who are rooting for the New England Patriots today, may you be eternally condemned. No, I'm just kidding. Don't we call them the Cheatriots? Bill Belichick, all that. Okay, yeah. That's judgmental of you, Pastor Dave. Yes, it is. Okay. So some judgments are not hurtful, right? You know, like, but sometimes we judge people based on where they live and what they drive and who they hang out with. And we make these really hurtful judgments. So that's the next major point. Some judgments, next major point, are hurtful. Some judgments are hurtful, especially when they're done arrogantly. Now, in this text, Jesus was condemning the Pharisees. He was saying to the Pharisees, judge not and you will not be judged. Why did he say that? Because the Pharisees looked down on folks. They made judgmental statements about other people. They were basically saying, we don't sin and you do, and we're ready to pick apart your sin. So they looked arrogantly down on other people. Sometimes we as Christians do the very same thing. We look arrogantly upon people without looking at our own stuff, without evaluating our own sinfulness and our need for God's grace. So some judgments are hurtful, especially when they're done arrogantly. And that's what we're saying today. Some judgments are hurtful when they're done, and I encourage you to write this down, when they're done ignorantly. Not only arrogantly, but also ignorantly. Have you ever noticed how we come up with illogical conclusions about people's lives based on where they live, what they do, what they look like, what they drive, all that kind of stuff? And it is so sinful. You do it, and so do I. And you're probably thinking, well, Pastor, give us some examples of what you're talking about. Here's one, and I hear this all the time. Well, that guy has tattoos. He must not be a Christian. Or those people live in a big fancy house. They must be greedy. Or that guy doesn't even have a cell phone. What an idiot. Right? You ever heard statements like that? And sometimes we say them. Well, maybe the guy who lives in the big fancy house gives multi-millions of dollars to the church. Or maybe he's going to will it to his kids. Or maybe the guy with tattoos is doing that because he has scripture readings on his arms and it's a witness for Christ. You get what I'm saying? We so oftentimes make illogical judgments about people that lead to mistaken assumptions. And that's totally out of bounds. And that's what I believe Jesus means in part when he says, judge not and you will not be judged. Because the word of God doesn't speak on those issues. And so we sometimes think we can put ourselves in the place of the word of God and say castigating things about other people outside the perimeters of God's word. Like what people look like, or how they dress, or where they live, or what they drive, or whether they have a cell phone or not a cell phone. All these different things, really, we shouldn't be going into that area because it really deteriorates into nothing more than gossip. Right? Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah. So some judgments are hurtful when they're done arrogantly, when they're done ignorantly, and when they're done, thirdly, write this down, blindly. When they're done blindly. Now you're probably thinking, what does that mean when they're done blindly? When we have the attitude that we pick out the faults and the sins of others without looking at our own stuff. And I pause for dramatic effect because so oftentimes we do that very thing. We pick out the faults, the weaknesses, yes, the sins of others without dealing with our own skeletons in the closet. And we are so quick to judge, so quick to ridicule, so quick to condemn without evaluating our own life. Now, this is what Jesus said about that. Why do you take the speck out of your neighbor's eye when you have a log in your own? He said, take the log out of your own eye, and then you can take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. What was he saying there? He was saying, before you ridicule and judge other people about their sinful condition, make sure you look at your own sinful condition first. Make sure that you evaluate your own transgressions against God. And then what's he saying? Then ask God to forgive you. God will absolve you. The blood of Christ will cleanse you. And when you've dealt with your own stuff, then you can take the speck, comparatively speaking, out of your neighbor's eye. Does that make sense? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. I want to be real clear about that. Because if we've dealt with our own sinfulness and we've been absolved by God, then indeed we are accountable to one another inside the body of Christ. And that leads us to the third point. Some judgments are necessary. Some judgments are necessary inside the confines of the body of Christ, meaning inside the church. When we're dealing with people who are brothers and sisters in Christ, some judgments are necessary. Now, the proof text of that is the 1 Corinthians chapter 5 passage. What was happening there? Well, this man was cohabitating and having sexual relationships with his dad's wife, his stepmom. This was happening within the confines of the Corinthian congregation. And the congregation wasn't doing anything about it. As a matter of fact, they were happy about it. They were kind of arrogant about it. They were kind of bragging about it. See how tolerant we are. See how loving we are. Why, this guy is living with his dad's wife and it's no big deal. And what did St. Paul say about that? He said, you got to deal with it. It's like a cancer in the congregation. It's like leaven that sours the whole lump. You've got to deal with it. You've got to lovingly confront it. This is something that could have a negative effect on the entire body of Christ. Deal with it. Now, what was the purpose of that loving confrontation to this individual? And by the way, I don't think it went like this. Man, oh man, you're really sinning. You're messing up. What's wrong with you? I think it was more like this. You know what, dude? What you're doing is wrong. It just is. The Bible clearly says that sexual immorality should not be a part of the body of Christ. We love you. And if you continue down this wayward path, it may lead to your eternal destruction. And we don't want to see that happen. Dude, you need to repent. You need to make it right with God. You need to ask God to forgive you and then be cleansed by the blood of Christ and then change your life. That's the way they dealt with it. Sometimes we become so tolerant about sin within the church. And we kind of wink our eyes and look the other way and say, really, you know, it's not for me or us to judge. You know the story of Moses when he climbs Mount Sinai and he's up there for 40 days and the people of God, the Israelites, are doing what? They're bowing down to a golden calf. They fashioned and molded this calf and they're bowing down to it and they're saying, this is our God. And Moses comes down the hill and does he say this? You know what, you guys, you really shouldn't be doing that, but hey, who am I to judge? Is that what he says? No. He lets them have it. He breaks the tablets. He's so upset. He, yes, confronts them with their sin, and he says, what are you doing? Sometimes we need to say to one another, what are you doing? What if St. Paul in this congregation in Corinth would have written a letter that went something like this? You know what? You got a guy who's carrying out sexual immorality in your midst. He's shacking up with his dad's mom or his dad's wife, but you know what? It's no big deal. You know, who are we to judge? Just let it go. Is that what St. Paul said? No, absolutely not. So let me give you some scenarios. If someone in the life of a congregation is cohabitating or living in sexual immorality, do we as brothers and sisters in Christ have the responsibility to lovingly confront that sin? Let me give you another scenario. Let's say someone is stealing from the collection plate, the offering plate, and people see it. Should that sin be confronted? Let's say that someone is physically or verbally abusing his wife or kids, and the body of Christ knows about it. Should that person be lovingly confronted? Let's say someone has a habit of consistently, persistently taking God's name in vain, and we hear it all the time, even in the local congregation. Does the body of Christ have the responsibility to lovingly confront that sin? Let's say someone is thinking about, they're pregnant now, and they're thinking about having an abortion, this young lady is. Does the body of Christ have the responsibility to lovingly confront that? And let's say someone that you know is looking at pornography on a consistent basis, and you know about it, and they're a brother in Christ. Do you have the moral obligation to lovingly confront that and say, what are you doing? The answer to this is yes. You get what I'm saying? Is that judgmental? Here's the thing. This is not judgmental. Why? Because the Word of God speaks about these issues clearly. And if the Word of God speaks about these issues clearly, so should we. You get what I'm saying? And you might be saying, well, that's judgmental. No. We are accountable to one another. We're a family. The Word of God speaks about these issues. And Pastor Tim and I can't kind of patrol around the congregation seeing who's doing what. We are accountable to one another. We're a family. And if the Word of God speaks clearly about something in our lives, do we not want to live according to the Word of God? And do we not want people to hold us accountable to live according to the Word of God? The answer is yes. If that weren't the case, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 wouldn't be in the Bible. Okay? But it is. And so we have to look at it. So I want you to look at this next passage, Galatians 6. Go ahead and look at it if you would. Look at this. If you're thinking, well, Pastor Dave, aren't you coming down kind of hard about us? Are we really our brother's keeper? This answers it with an undoubted yes. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Again, what did we say? Deal with your own stuff first. Make sure you've confessed and been absolved. And then when you see a brother or sister falling into sin and they're persistent in it, then we have the right responsibility to lovingly confront them. And again, what does that sound like? It sounds something like this. I love you, and I'm really worried about the path you're taking. There's things happening in your life that I see that are not in accordance with the Word of God. would you please? And I love what Pastor Tim said about repentance a couple weeks ago, maybe last week. He said, repentance is taking your eyes off of your sin and turning towards Christ. And so when we lovingly confront someone, we're saying, you know what? I'm concerned about you. Bring that before God with a penitent heart. He will absolve you. And then turn around, do an about face, because I want to see you living a godly life, just as my intention is to live a godly life. So here's the big take-home points, the action items. This is on the back part of your outline today. Here's the first one. Always look at your own sin first. Okay? Before we go looking for trouble in the lives of other people, make sure your house is in order. Make sure that you've confessed things in your life that are not godly. And bring it before the Lord, and He will lovingly forgive you. I love this. This is where the gospel comes in today. Do you know what? Somebody asked me after the first service, what about Judgment Day? Is God going to judge us? And I say, yes, He is. But on what basis? On the basis of His Son. Jesus Christ took away our sins. He died for them on Calvary's cross. Therefore, the judgment upon us on Judgment Day is going to be not guilty. How cool is that? Because some of you I know are afraid of Judgment Day. Oh my goodness, I've sinned so much. I've messed up so badly. What will God say about that? It's all taken care of by Calvary. Now our life is lived in thanksgiving to God for what He's done for us through Jesus Christ. And we say, my life is yours, God. I dedicate it to you. I want to live according to your principles. And I want the body of Christ to hold me accountable. And I'm going to give you a powerful story here in a minute about how somebody did that with me. And how when he approached me, I said, man, I love this. Thanks for rebuking. No, I didn't say that at all. I'll share that in just a minute. Next major point, take home. Lovingly confront sin in others when necessary. When I say when necessary, that means if they're unrepentant. If they're continuing down a sinful road, without any intervention, without any repentance and a willingness to change their life. And I gave you some scenarios where that's obvious what we do. Whether it's cohabitation or stealing or taking God's name in vain, thinking about having an abortion, all these different kinds of things. We have to speak. Listen to this. We have to speak truth. Into God's people's lives. Because if we don't, where are they going to get it? From Oprah? Huh? We are mouthpieces for the Word of God. We stand on the integrity of God's Word. And we say, thus saith the Lord. All right. Pastor Dave, share your story with us. Okay, so here it is. You probably noticed that I have a little bit of this. Well, it used to be a lot bigger about 10 years ago. It did. I was about 15 to 20 pounds heavier than I am now. And every time I'd go out to eat, I would order the fattiest, most unhealthy stuff. Why is that? Because it tastes the best, right? I mean, you want to eat healthy, you want to eat stuff that tastes good, you know? So why is it that stuff that's good for you tastes so bad? Isn't that a bummer? When we're in heaven, it's all going to be reversed, okay? Okay, so anyway, I would order the most unhealthy stuff, cheeseburger with fries and all this kind of stuff. When I'd go to Red Lobster, I'd order this shrimp and all this butter and stuff. And so this guy had been out to lunch with me for many, many times, and he finally said this, dude, do you want to be around for your kids and grandkids? He knew me well, okay? I said, well, yeah. Well, dude, you're not being a good steward of your body. Are you exercising? No. Are you eating properly? No. Dude, I love you. I want to see you around. You're an awesome friend. You're a wonderful pastor. The church would miss you if you checked out early through death. I was ready to punch the guy. I was. And I felt like saying, who do you think you are? Why did you say that to me? But then I remembered this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, yeah. We're accountable to one another. So I had to go home and repent and say, God, change my ways. I am so glad that guy said what he said. It probably saved my life. This is what I'm saying, guys. We are accountable to one another. In conclusion, some judgments are not hurtful. Where you live, what you drive, you know, where you work, you know, what kind of toothpaste you have, what you wear, etc. Those judgments that we make on a daily basis are not hurtful. But some judgments are hurtful when they're done arrogantly, when we make them in ignorance, or when we do them blindly, unwilling to look at ourselves and our own sin. But some judgments are, you say it, necessary. When a brother or sister in Christ is going down a deviant path, someone needs to say, stop. I'm here. I'll help. I'll pray with you. So I hope that this message has helped to clarify some things for you today. And when we come before God with a penitent heart, indeed, God loves us and forgives us and calls us his very own. I love what Cain said to God when indeed he had done something wrong in killing his brother. God asked him, where is your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? Are we our brothers and sisters keepers? The Bible says, yes. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that that you would help us to take this word and put it into application in our lives. God, help us when we are going our own stubborn, resisting way. Help us, Lord, to look at our own sin first, to truly confess our wrongs before you and to be absolved. And then, God, we are accountable to one another and for one another. If there is someone in our life who is a brother or sister in Christ who is going down a deviant path without any intervention spiritually, God, if you want us to speak, make that clear. And let us stand not on the integrity of our own conscience or will or desire, but on the integrity of your word, because your word speaks boldly to us today. Lord, help us to be not only hearers of your word, but practicers of it. And when we trip and stumble and fall into sin, may we know that you love us and absolve us. And just like you said, Lord Jesus, to the adulterous woman, who is it that condemns you? And she said, neither do I condemn you. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. Oh God, help us to do the very same thing, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. In the precious name of you, Lord Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.